And welcome back to the Broke Blurred Pod. I'm your host, Anthony K. Savage, a.k.a. Voice, a.k.a. Savage Voice, a.k.a. Antonio El Savaje. And this is the new Broke Blurred Pod, as it were. Doing things differently. Go back, listen to other episodes. All great stuff. Talk about a lot of different things. But now we're going to get back to the reason why I wanted to podcast in the first place. We're going to start talking about TV and movie. I'm going to do reviews and let you into my world. And I'm going to share some of the things that I enjoy as the Broke Blurred Pod. The whole point of it is, you know, there's these things I love in life, you know, nerd culture, comic books and stuff like that. And sometimes people can have hobbies and things that they enjoy and they cost a lot of money. So I found a way to find these things that I enjoy that don't necessarily cost an arm and a leg, and comic books are a little farther from that than they used to be. Disney Plus is obviously something that you have to pay for, Netflix and all that, but it's still relatively inexpensive. You know, get a free trial, find a bunch of stuff, and, you know, come back to them when you really need it. But today, what we're going to be talking about is She-Hulk. Attorney at Law, I believe it was. Yeah, She-Hulk Attorney at Law is the name of the show, and it's about She-Hulk, the Marvel character. Now, the way I'm going to try to do this, this new format, is we're going to start out. I'm going to tell you, when applicable, a little bit about what the show is, the characters it's based on, and things like that. So we're going to start off. She-Hulk, a.k.a. Jennifer Walters, is a fictional character appearing in American comic book published by Marvel Comics. She was created by Stan Lee and artist John Buscema. She appeared in the Savage She-Hulk number one in February of 1980. Jennifer Walters is a lawyer who, after an injury, received an emergency blood transfusion from her cousin, Bruce Banner, and acquired the Incredible Hulk powers, basically. We're going to get some stuff for the episode that talks about this, a little bit of changes that they made, which, for good or for bad, they are what they are. But overall, I have to say, from the gate, I actually like it. I like the direction that they're heading in so far. Now, I wanted to watch this show before I watch any other reviews. I love there's Double Toasted. It was one of the podcasts or YouTube shows I watch. Absolutely Marvel in DC, another thing. Check those out on YouTube. And I watch them. I love it. And here's the thing. I'm the type of person, I can watch somebody give a review, criticize something, and I'll still watch it. I don't really care about spoilers, but I knew I wanted to do this first pod back on the show. We're going to go through all the episodes, and I wanted to do it without being sullied by the opinions of anybody else. I want to give my opinion, and then I'll see what they have to say and see if they match up or not. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a small break. Maybe I have sponsors, maybe I don't. Either way, when we come back, we are going to then, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the show itself. And then after that, or during that, we'll be going through a breakdown of the show itself. And we'll see how that goes. So we will be back shortly after this.
So it starts. The saga begins, niggas. The saga begins, niggas. I'd like to welcome you to a collection of thoughts, observations, and concepts. They say that art imitates life.
Okay, now to give a bit of small background of about the show itself and Disney Plus. Now, if you're listening to this, more than likely you're well aware of Marvel Cinematic Universe, Avengers, Incredible Hulk, all the reasons for the most part why you would be watching the show, what Disney Plus is. It's all something you're probably aware of. When they first announced She-Hulk, I believe it was back in one of the Comic-Cons. It was at least a couple years ago. Now, here's some, I don't know about insider information because I'm damn sure not on the inside. But the thing about it is, for the longest time, Marvel, now already, the backtrack, Marvel can't make an Incredible Hulk movie because Paramount owns the rights to any Incredible Hulk movie. Now, Marvel can put the Incredible Hulk in the movie, can't be his movie, and they can put him in TV shows, but they, you know, can't make a movie. Now, with Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk, hers is a little bit different. See, she is technically, as far as money-wise, legal terms, she's a Fantastic Four character as far as that goes, and that was owned by Fox. So when Fox had the rights for the Fantastic Four, she is one of those characters that they could do nothing with. Now, Disney owns Fox, or Marvel owns Fox, whoever, you know, it's all under one umbrella. And so now they are able to use all of those characters, including Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk. And they decided to make a Disney Plus series. Now, there are a few things that I myself, a few disclaimers, things I take into account, I hope you take into account, about the Disney Plus shows. Now, I myself, for the most part, I can't really think of much of anything that they've come out with as far as Marvel is concerned and the cinematic universe between TV shows and movies that I have not liked. It's a sliding scale, and the biggest downfall, in my opinion, is that they started at the top. So when you start at the top, you know, you can either hold on to that or go a little bit lower, and maybe something will happen, you go up a little higher. Like, for instance, the movie The Eternals. Didn't necessarily get the greatest reviews. I personally actually liked it. I think it was a pretty good movie. A little bit niche, so to speak. Not characters not known by a lot of people. I think that's probably one of the biggest hurdles that they have. This Marvel series. I like the Ms. Marvel series. Now, there's, you can complain about pacing with a lot of these shows and things like that, which another reason why I wanted to watch this cold turkey without getting the opinions of other people is because a lot of times, you know, when reviewing, I have reviewed, but reviewers, when reviewing, they try to be objective as possible. And even if they're a fan, or you should, if you're a fan of the material, you should generally try to give an objective point of view. And a lot of times, you know, the pacing may not be good and how they do the stories could be better. But overall, as far as entertainment and seeing the things I love on TV and being able to enjoy, I have yet to find any real complaints. Like, for instance, what the travesty that M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong did to the Avatar series. Yeah, I can't abide by that. And I like a lot of stuff. I will let a lot go. And that I cannot let go. This is not the case with She-Hulk. With She-Hulk, there are some changes that they make slightly, nothing too major. I don't know super a lot about the character. I know enough to kind of point out some of these things myself. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to go through the show, so to speak, play by play. So if you don't want any spoilers, this is that part where you are going to want to check out, go watch the show, and then come back and then hear what I have to say. I've always wanted to do that. I'm glad I finally can. So now the thing about She-Hulk, way they start this out, which I have to give them credit for, is she kind of, she already has the powers. You don't know it yet. You know, the focus on this show is going to be more of her being a lawyer. Now, there was a run that she did, which I can't think of the writer, but he was one of the seminal writers of The Incredible Hulk, and when he did She-Hulk, he kind of made her kind of like, I think, what they base this particular book of, and she was working with, if you watch Loki, the group that, you know, the time police or whatever, she worked with them in this series that I read. And they kind of focus more on the lawyer aspect and how in the Marvel universe, comic books are kind of used as like reality, like legal paperwork of things that happen. It's a good book. You should read. That's what I'm trying to figure out what the name of that is. Anyway, if I figure it out, I will let you know. Because his work is definitely what I would recommend you going to read. So now when she starts out, she's going over her closing arguments for a case that she's working on. And, you know, they're kind of slowly, you know, a lot of green in the background. They're kind of, you know, it's quite a wall. They're kind of getting you, slowly drag you into, you know, expect the green. You're going to see green. There's going to be green coming. And then partway through, right before she leaves, they break the fourth wall and she kind of comes and, you know, let's go back. Let's go back and talk about what happened. Get it out of the way because you're not going to be able to pay attention to this. They say up front, this is a law show, which I think it's good that they're going to focus on the law aspect because, in all honesty, that's one of the most interesting parts of the books is, you know, her defending, you know, different supervillains and things of that sort, and just, you know, kind of bringing that world into the mainstream. They go back and they talk about how she got her powers. Now, here is where some of the differences are going to come in. So, one, she's in the car with Bruce Banner. Not as the Incredible Hulk. He has a device on his arm. Now, this answers one of the many questions that people had from the last time that we did see him, which in all honesty, it does not specifically come to mind what that was in. I'm sure another thing I will have to find out later and let you guys know in a later episode at the end of this one, where his arm was healed. And I think this kind of fills in those gaps relatively nicely. It was a lot of time, so maybe if this came out a little bit sooner, it would have seemed more pertinent to everything that's happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But anyway, he has this device which basically keeps him as Bruce Banner, because I think as the Hulk, he still has the damaged arm. Anyway, he's driving along and he's talking to his cousin, Jen Walters. Now, here's the thing. Again, I don't have too much info as far as being familiar with the character. The few things I've read or watched with the character, though Bruce Banner and Jennifer Walters are cousins, they weren't necessarily, at least in the comics, the way they made it seem is as close as they were cousins, they were not close. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but they were like, they were close enough that, yes, they were cousins, but at the same time, you wouldn't, you know, like, you know, a lot of people, they have cousins and they're like brothers and sisters. And this is not how they were in the comics. They were kind of like, yeah, that's, I have a distant cousin. Whereas here in the show, they kind of go more towards that whole, you know, brother-sister type of relationship that some people have with their cousins, which I think they did very well here. Because it's, I think it needs that. For one, those people who don't know anything about She-Hulk, yeah, you need that to kind of get in. You need that connecting tissue from the Incredible Hulk to She-Hulk, and you got to wonder why, you know, why is she so, you know, fortunate or lucky to get the powers of the Incredible Hulk? And, you know, they come off relatively close, and they're talking about Captain America, and we'll get back to that pack because it's kind of come back towards the end. But anyway, they're driving along, and a ship appears out of nowhere, and they get veered off the world, off the road, and fall off of a cliff. Now, here is where we are going to have a little bit of a recanonization of the She-Hulk story. Now, as I said before, she was in an accident. She got a blood transfusion from Bruce Banner, turning her into the Incredible Hulk. And this, the way they did, is basically car crashed. She's cut from the wreckage. He's cut from the wreckage. His device is broken, which regulates his Hulkness, which regulates his gamma radiation, all that. Some of his blood gets into her. She pretty much almost immediately changes into the She-Hulk, and she's uncontrollable. She can't control her form, and she rushes into, looks like a jungle. I think they're in Mexico, so jungle forest. I don't know the technical term of it all. And eventually she wakes up and it's nighttime and she's in tattered clothes and she comes upon a bar side road. Now, here is where I will have a little bit, or my first bit of a gripe of you know, where I could see some of those other shows that I watch, where I could see them having something to say about this. The bar scene itself, they're going more on the funny side with this show, and as well as the law side. So there's a lot of testing waters, pilot episode, but a lot of it just doesn't seem as convincing as some of it. She goes into the bar, tattered up, is in the bathroom, and a bunch of women walk in, and they were like super stereotypical group of women. Girl, what are you doing? Oh my God, who treated you like this? Now here's the thing, they go with the who treated you like this and he's no good to you, but if you actually see how she was, you would call the police. You would not be like, hi. And they're like putting, they're like, oh, you need to put makeup, they give her clothes and shoes and put makeup on her, and it just doesn't fit. The sentiment that they're supposed to be having and what they're doing with that sentiment doesn't match. If you actually think that somebody did that to her, you go, oh my God, we need to call the police, because you obviously were sexually assaulted and or attacked, and you're a woman. And most of these women are actually, you know, and when she's in her normal form, tower over her. So you are a smaller woman who needs our help. They don't do that. They play it up for laughs, give her, you know, a jacket. And it kind of, the what they're trying to do, kind of, you know, one, you know, obviously you don't blame a woman just because she's dressed a certain way, but they kind of do something along those lines, but they, it's Disney Plus, so they downplay it drastically, but they do it just enough that you can kind of see what they're doing. Anyway, she standing outside, she's waiting for, she uses the phone, she asks for them, like, I need your phone, I'm fine, I need your phone to call my cousin. And she calls Bruce Banner to come pick her up, but before she can do that, a group of guys come outside, and here's the thing, another thing, as soon as they walked outside, I looked at them and I immediately knew, oh great, I know what's gonna happen. They're gonna come out, they're gonna catcall her, treat her like an object, talk down to her, and she's gonna hawk out and get her up. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. And the writing wasn't necessarily good as far as what they were saying. And it's not necessarily that it was like super bad, but it was just kind of, they could have done more. They could have made it more believable, whether it was the angles they chose for the camera, the scripting, the timing, the acting, what have you. Point is, it could have been done better. She hawks out and knocks out the person, and then next thing you know, she blacks out and she wakes up and she's in a house, and I can't remember, I think she's still in her tattered clothes, and she goes downstairs and introducing Smart Hulk, the Incredible Hulk. Bruce Banner, Incredible Hulk, is downstairs and he decides to do some work, and he's in a cabin in Mexico that him, actually it used to be owned by Tony Stark, aka Iron Man, rest in peace. And he was allowed to use it by Tony Stark. He used to come there to work on stuff in between one of the movies. I can't remember specifically which one he said. And he even said, you know, Tony loaned this to me. He said he'd come back for it one day. So now here's another thing, which now at the beginning when it's Bruce Banner, it's Mark Ruffalo in the car with her talking, and you know, he's them, it's the Hulk, it's him. And here he's back to Smart Hulk, so you know, they kind of have the whole CG thing. Now when the promos for this first came out, the first set of promos, CG wasn't quite where it needed to be. So when you saw her, that was pretty much what everybody on the internet complained about. With this, I think what I'll probably hear when I watch those shows I watch is it seems like they were like, all right, we're going to focus on her, She-Hulk. She is, it's her show. She's who we're going to focus on. And with him, it seems like either they didn't focus as much or they specifically wanted to downgrade somewhat of his look just so that he's not outshadowing her, so to speak. Because I think the way she looks is awesome. I think they did an awesome job. I know it's an imaginary character, but she's sexy as fuck. As characters go, She-Hulk has always been sexy. And, you know, I'm a guy, I'm a man, I like women. Women are beautiful. They should be respected. However, the actress playing her, Miss Lonnie, I think is her name. I don't have it on me right now to tell you. I'm trying to record a podcast, for Christ's sake. She was in Orphan Black, and now it's a great show you should watch. She's beautiful. Her as Hulk is beautiful. And another thing I realized, when in the scene where she's outside and the guys are hitting on her and she, you know, hulks out and knocks one of them out, she's actually tackled by Bruce Banner as the Incredible Hulk. And then, you know, she wakes up and she has a change of clothes, actually, and goes downstairs and he's smart Hulk, whatever. And like I said, his is a little off. I don't know what it is. But at the same time, again, for what it is, it's not in the movies. It's a TV show. For a TV show, I think it's, you know, it's awesome. I still liked it. Anyway, he lets her know that he tested her blood and there was something about her blood that actually helped heal his messed up arm. So now he's able to be back to Smart Hulk. And he immediately, you know, after notifying her of everything that's going on, he destroys her blood sample to make sure that it doesn't get into anybody's hands because they'll Hulk out. You know, it'll create another Hulk. And there's something about her DNA and his DNA that they share certain genetic markers that they're both able to not die from massive amounts of gamma radiation, but they're able to turn into Hulks. And they both quickly learn that unlike him, who has had, you know, through 15 years of battling with the Hulk and everything and the two sides of himself, she doesn't necessarily have those same issues and or problems. He runs some tests on her and puts her into a room and has a wall pushing forward with fucking buzzsaws, you know, still, you know, coming out or whatever. And she Hulks out, she breaks the wall and she's throwing everything. And he's like, you know, trying to calm her down. And he's like, you know, calm down, it's okay. All right, whoa, calm down. She's like, why are you talking to me like that? He's like, what? Wait, you're you? And she's like, yeah, I'm me. What do you mean? Wait, yeah, I mean, you know, apparently she doesn't have the whole, you know, me Hulk, me mad, which in the comics, that's how the character is. I think later on they do kind of experiment with her losing more of humanity, and becoming more of a Hulk. But from what I know, that was way later down the line in very select cases. So they're sticking relatively close as far as that's concerned to the comics. But anyway, so she's, you know, before all that, he comes with a giant binder, a syllabus of, you know, everything he's learned about being a Hulk and how to control. And he tells her that she, you know, she can't go back to her life. She's a Hulk now. Because he's under the impression that, like him, she can't control it. And, you know, being a lawyer and everything like that, she's like, I have a life to get back to. And he's like, well, too bad, because you're Hulk now, so that life is over. So anyway, they go ahead and, you know, they go through these tests and, you know, so first off, okay, so one, again, more into the critique side of things. She changes into the Hulk and she still has control of her faculties as the Hulk. And he's like, okay, well, I guess we can, and he rips a page out of the giant binder that he has. Now, I have to call bullshit on this for the main fact of there's no way that the one or two pages he took out of the binder was only to her not controlling, you know, her identity or not having to deal with a Hulk identity and a Bruce Banner identity. That would be a big, way, way, way bigger part of that syllabus binder than it was. But whatever, it is what it is. Anyway, like I said, it starts off at this point in the show. It's slowly starting to get to where it needs to be, as far as, you know, the show goes, and, you know, once he brings out the binder and stuff like that. And he then goes, you know, it's a bit of a training montage, and he goes over, you know, the different things that she needs to be able to do or learn how to do to control her powers and everything, so that way she can, you know, one day get back to, you know, the real world. And it's kind of like, you know, he has a giant boulder. Now, I actually like how they did these scenes. He has a giant boulder, and he tosses it, and she tosses it. But she tosses it farther than him. So, you know, he's got the male ego and everything. So he has to take a giant rock and launch it pretty much into space. And she mocks him for it. And that's one thing I definitely do appreciate about what they did with their relationship and this character in the training montage. It is a lot of, you know, he's, for lack of a better term, he's mansplaining a lot of things, which only reason it's not technically mansplaining is because he's the only other Hulk there is. So he's explaining, this is how it is, this is what I went through. But she doesn't necessarily have the same problems that he had as a Hulk. So for her, it comes across as mansplaining, because he's like, you know, you need to, you know, he throws the rock, she throws it farther, he has to throw it real far and kind of puff out his chest, and she's like, man, you know, makes fun of him. And then one scene, and it's more of, kind of goes back to the comic book and how it was drawn and everything like that. It gave me this kind of feeling. There's a scene where he jumps up in the sky and comes down and punches the ground and, you know, cracks it or whatever. And she does it, and she kind of like daintily comes and kind of does like kind of a ballerina swirl type thing, and then jumps up and then down and makes an even bigger, you know, crater in the ground and shakes things up. But the way they did it was so smooth, and it looked fantastic. And I like the way that they did that part. And again, I can't say, especially compared to what it was, and again, this may be just, I don't know, looking at it through later eyes, whatever you may have you, but I love what they did with the CG for her. It, to me, has weight and everything, more than his does, and I like the look of it. And in these scenes, it definitely, it shows. He talks about balance, and she's just, you know, of course, doing that as well, way better than he does. You know, he's on two hands, kind of got his knees up in the air, and she's like standing on one hand and switching to the other hand, going into a split and bringing her legs over around while still holding on one hand and everything. And you know, basically what she comes to find out in the conclusion is that, you know, all the stuff that he had to go through, she doesn't necessarily have to deal with those things. It's not his road, it's not her road. So from there, eventually he's like, well, okay, so she does the whole spinning thing and breaks, and he gets back into his whole, you know, his male pride is hurt, and he pushes her off a cliff. And I again gotta give a point, because she's like, she falls off the cliff, she gives him the finger and kind of, and then eventually jumps back up. And again, how they do this, because I think what they're going to try to do, and they do this in the comics, but it's not, obviously you can't tell it as much because it's a comic book versus a TV show, but she falls down. The way she comes up, you can kind of see the power that she has, but she lands. It has a very like ballerina-esque quality, so to speak, where it's strong, but it's definitely feminine in the sense, or you know, definitely has that I can't even think of the word, but kind of you know the sensualness, so to speak. Not necessarily sensual, because it's not about being sexy itself, but it has a bit of, I don't know, delicateness. Not even delicate, because delicate is not even the word, but kind of like, I don't know, what's the female version of smooth? You know, and another thing I forgot earlier, when they start the training scene, he wakes her up with a blowhorn. She hulks out and everything. And yeah, there's a lot of good scenes. Like I said, they do the whole cousin thing where it's more like a brother and sister type thing. And I think those scenes work really, those were like the best parts. And this is just one episode, whatever. So obviously, you know, and they're doing yoga and things like that. But you know, like I said, eventually he pushes her off a cliff and she gives him the finger, comes out, and he's like, okay, fine. One of the things, keeps telling all the bad stuff that happened. One of the better things is, as Hawks, we get to drink so much and never get drunk. Their body metabolizes her, and she wakes up and she has a hangover, but she wakes up as Jennifer Walters, or as he remains as the Hulk. So I'm going to assume that's why she has the hangover as Jen Walters versus, I don't know, reasons. But you know, it's fair enough. It's really not even that big of an issue. But yeah, another, like I said, when she was making fun of him, you know, being a man, one of the things they did was they jumped from one side of, you know, the island to the other side or whatever. And she lands and she's like, you know, ooh, man, me, man, you know, again, making fun of him. And just, I liked that dynamic. But yeah, again, he knocks her off the cliff, calls her a little punk. She tells him it's a dick move. Got to give Disney Plus credit for going there with, you know, their vulgarity, so to speak. Yeah, you know, just kind of not being so kid-friendly, so to speak, with it, because, you know, you don't have to be all the time. You know, there's nothing that bad. But yeah, you know, they get drunk and everything, and she wakes up, you know, they show a bunch of bottles on the ground that she drank, or they drank together. And then eventually, the next day, they're doing this yoga thing that she didn't like doing in the first place, but she's doing it with her. She's like, I'm done. Like, I know you're trying to help me, and you want, you know, to impart your mansplaining on top of me, but, and this is the part where, so there's two sides of this. One side, I believe, it had to be said in some way, shape, or form, because it is a reality, and I think this is kind of what the character always was, and this also addresses a lot of the negative aspects of what the character has been, so to speak, but also the positive that the character has been, where his whole thing is, you know, you have to be able to change back and forth at will. You know, you need to be able to do that. You need to be able to control your anger. And she's like, control my anger? She's like, I already know how to control my anger. I have to deal with freaking, you know, being catcalled every day with, you know, if I say something a certain way, I'm perceived as being angry or bossy or any of those negative things. And, you know, that's where people are gonna complain. You know, the freaking incels on the internet will definitely have their, you know, oh my God, social justice warrior. Just shut up. For one, comic books, that's what they always were. They've always been for social justice. So if you got a problem with that, watch something else, listen to something else, read something else. But these are the reality of what they are. Okay, now, so what basically happens next is Jennifer Walters, she basically goes to leave, and Dr. Bruce Banner, aka Smart Hulk, you know, he doesn't want her to. And, you know, this is where we have our first and possibly not last Hulk battle. And, you know, he's trying to give the advice of what to do because he's been a Hulk for over 15 years, from what he said earlier, and she doesn't want to hear it. And she basically goes to get into a Jeep, a comedically large Jeep for her in her normal Jennifer Walters form, and basically she runs over him over with a truck, but he's the Hulk, so it doesn't matter. And, you know, she gets out, and they start to fight, and obviously she Hulks up. And it's pretty decent fight, if I do say so myself. I mean, for what the show is, I mean, they're not necessarily going to lead as much towards the action as a lot of other Marvel shows, and I'm fine with that. That's what this show should be, kind of dealing with the comedy and the fantastic of it all, of, you know, superheroes and how they would be in the real world and dealing with real world problems. I mean, she's a lawyer. So they go through this and they fight, and then eventually break the Hulk's bar and they put it back together. And I think this is kind of the first time, other than at the beginning, but her as She-Hulk, where they blatantly show her breaking the fourth wall, you know, kind of looking to, you know, the camera. And, you know, the Hulk looking at her, and she says something. And it... Now, okay, so think about this. People will see this, and they're going to go, oh, she ripped off Deadpool. Well, She-Hulk was doing it before Deadpool. It's a comic fact. It is what it is, you know. And they've been doing it in many shows for years, as other people have said countless times. But, you know, he finally says, okay, fine, if you want to go back to your life, go back to your life. And, you know, he can't really give her reason not to, because, you know, she, for the most part, does have the control he never had. Now, another thing that he tries to kind of keep pushing forward to her is, you know, telling her, like, through that whole fight is, you are a superhero. You have to be a superhero. We're the only two like us with our type of power that will stop people and things like that. So it's your, you know, you're obligated to be a superhero. And she's like, I don't want to be a superhero. Like, you can do two things at once. You can be a lawyer and a superhero. Another funny thing, when they were fighting, there's a part where, you know, he does the Hulk, the smack. And when he does it, you know, it knocks her over, and then she goes to do it, and he kind of just giggles at it. And then she does it again, kind of hurts his ears. Now, on a scientific level, which I'm not a scientist, so take it with a grain of salt, but it's interesting how they did this. And I don't know specifically if the comic has this same type of situation, because I'm pretty sure she's done the, you know, the big clap and had the similar effect of what would affect the Hulk. But the way they did it here is he does his clap, and basically his hands are so big and such a wide surface of area, that's why it would knock you back, where hers are smaller, but she does it like in a faster repeating method, where it kind of eventually just, and also it's a higher pitch, so it kind of, you know, hurts the ears and knocks them over. And it's, I like how they did it. That's just me. But yeah, so they break, you know, they broke his bar, and he gives her, he says, you can go ahead. And she goes back to being a lawyer. And I believe this is where the episode kind of gets back to where things were. Yeah, it does. Gets back to where it was of her about to go into court. And she goes into court, and it's, you know, I'm not sure specifically who they're defending, but you would think initially that it has to do with some type of superhero situation, the way that they're talking about it, or at least that's where your mind goes automatically because of what you're watching, but you never see who the actual defendant is or recognize who he is. You know, you see people in counsel. And Jennifer Walters is about to give her closing argument, and she gets a warning from her fellow lawyer colleague, who you can tell is a douche. As she's about to start her closing argument, through the wall breaks, I believe her name is Titania, and she's one of She-Hulk's, I don't know, main villains, but you know, she's in her rogues gallery, I believe. And you know, she's like a, you know, buxom strong woman, and her friend's like, come on, you gotta, you know, Hulk out. And she's like, I don't want to Hulk out. He's like, you have to Hulk out, come on, you know, great responsibility, you know, great power, great responsibility, though they don't actually say it. You know, and she's about to Hulk out. She's like, whoa, and take off her shoes, because she knows that you like those shoes, so you don't want to break them. As she Hulks out, and you know, you're maybe expecting a big giant battle, and you know, Titania throws a giant desk at her, and She-Hulk just throws it on her, and she does a jump flying kick, and She-Hulk just literally just wow punches her just straight across, kind of like in the Spider-Man movie, the original Raimi movies, where the Flash was doing whatever, and he just kind of that whole whap, and he holds the punch, same issue, same thing. And then after she does it, she kind of just, you know, goes back and goes put back on her shoes, and she's like, I'm ready to do my closing argument. And I believe that is where the episode ends. And the closing, I have to give credit because I am an artist and I love comics. They basically, the closing credits are similar to, you know, it's, you know, when the, in court, how they have the artist, you know, that's what it is, but it's, you know, a bit of a comic book style, and it's I like it. It definitely makes you want to go and read the comics. Now, at the end of this, they do have a closing end credit scene, which I don't know if they'll do this every episode or what have you, but they do it here. And basically what they come to is they're talking about Captain America, and I can't remember specifically what they said, but basically, yeah, that Captain America gets laid, and she's like, yes, I knew Captain America fucked. I'm not sure if they said fuck. They made him cut it off right before, you know, she dropped the full F-bomb. She's like, fuck, and you know, cut it off. But it's that was the first episode. Now, it's, again, the way that I watch this and enjoy it is a lot more. I don't want to be too much on the whole critic angle, but I do want to criticize it enough that, you know, if you want to watch it, you can watch it and you have some real information, and hopefully I can enjoy it. Me, myself, I like it. You know, I grew up in the 80s where my Hulk was the Incredible Hulk, you know, with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, and I was ecstatic just to see that. So this just kind of, you know, it's good. I like it. And it's supposed to be 9 episodes. It's just the first one, so we got 8 more to go. And I will be here to let you know what I think about it, giving you a breakdown of each episode. The podcast is back, and we've got some changes going on. I'm going to do a lot more of these. I will, when I have the opportunity, get people in here to, you know, shoot the shit. I don't know about how much politics and stuff we'll talk, because it's just kind of depressing. But I will definitely be talking about more nerdy stuff. And also, one thing I want to do is I want to give recommendations, whether it be podcasts, TV shows. So I'll probably have a little section that will be in the next episode, possibly in this one. We don't know. If you listen to this, you already do now. So, but I do thank you for listening. I hope this is enjoyable. I hope that it improves. You know, it's been a while, and I'm back, and I want to kind of be doing this on a regular basis. I have plenty of stuff that I can tell you about and talk about, and stuff that I watch. I'm going to share that all with you. So, from the Broke Blurred Pod, I've been your host, Anthony K. Savage, a.k.a. Voice, a.k.a. Savage Voice, a.k.a. Antonio Salvaje. And just remember, don't tell yourself you can't do something. Ask yourself, why can't you do it? All right, take it easy, guys.